Welcome back, my friends. Welcome to the broadcast. It's Eric to the Freedom Screamer. Wow, what a perfect arrangement. We were a little late tonight. We were trying to coordinate a few technical arrangements here, and I have always been meaning to kind of play almost the full version of that song by Eric Clapton with Derek and the Dominoes, Why Does Love Got to Be So Sad, best version of it. So thanks for joining us tonight. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. I am here. We are live. What we're going to do tonight is we are going to play, this is just, everything's converged perfectly that this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a document in response to the Goldman Trump's administration's new, and Donald Trump himself, he has to take responsibility for the actions of his administration. These are all his people that he put in place. This is all a creature of his doing. So in response to the new tax plan, we're going to play a documentary called The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. Fantastic documentary exposing the private Federal Reserve. I mean, really, folks, did you catch what's going on? We're going to have a new tax code. You know, here's the theme for tonight's show. The theme for tonight's show is slavery made simple. You're still going to be a slave to the usury and the private bankers of the Federal Reserve, ripping you off and enslaving our nation to a nothing but a constant stream of debt, where private bankers who took over in 1913 print the currency and loan it to the American government at 6% interest or whatever they're at these days. And there's just no way to get out of this debt slavery. This is why Rothschild said, hey, I care not I care not what law. He said, give me the control of a nation's currency, and I care not what laws they make or what their armies do. He doesn't care how much war, how powerful military is. Nothing matters. They pull the plug. They flip the switch to the off position on our economy, on the money stream, and it's over. Or if they click the switch on too much, open that faucet up too much, it could go into hyperspace. They could print as much money as would be required to crash the economy into hyperinflation. So with their finger on their thumb on the right on the control button of this entire operation that you see going on, everything in this country revolves around money. You don't have it, you're screwed. If you have it, you can get away just about anything. Look what's going on in the administration. So in response, it's a new dawn in America. Slavery made simple. Continue your slavery and to the usury and tyranny of a private banking consortium who took over control of your currency and won't let go. And the new man in power, oh boy, doesn't even want it. We can't even audit the Fed, let alone end it. Remember the old saying, end the Fed? Hello, from yesteryear, long ago, Ron Paul, the patriot community. Hello, patriots, everybody. Are you all patriotic? What happened to get rid of the damn Fed? The Federal Reserve's got to go. We have to have the currency printed by the United States government and managed by the people and its representatives. I know that's a whole other nightmare to control Congress's hands on the money. I don't know which would be worse. No, it would be better. At least we'd have some access to direct control of the money if it's in the hands of the people and the proper people's representatives. And when I say proper, I mean duly elected, without electronic voting machines, by an enlightened population. I know we're getting into a stretch here, but bottom line is you can't let the private bankers print your currency and loan it to the government. With all the problems and pitfalls that would come from having the government print its own money, it would be a much better deal. We'd have much more prosperity. There wouldn't be that constant stream of debt, slavery that we're going through. So, but, you know, hey, cool, we're going to keep the IRS. Donald Trump wants to keep the IRS up and running. Doesn't want to even cut back on the 16,000 agents that they hired to enforce their will on the people, including buying them firearms, new weapons, and everything to work to use against us. Well, you know who they're going to use that against. Okay, so we want to keep let's keep the IRS up and running. Everybody, all the patriots that believe in Trump say, yay! And he says, let's just make it simple. Instead of the 158-page form, you'll only have 7 pages to fill out. Yay! You're still going to be indebted to the slavery, still going to be under the usury and the tyranny of private bankers and the just absolutely cold-hearted, just destructive situation we're in with our economy at the mercy of people who do not have our best interest at heart. Believe me, and it's obvious by what's going on. So those with the money are going to buy off the wicked witches of the West, like Gloria Navarro, who's holding the Bundys and company unlawfully, Wicked Witch of the Northwest, Anna Brown, who's holding Tom LaGuevara unlawfully. And they get paid really well by the private banking consortium to do their evil deeds and dress up like a bunch of witches in the witch's robe, the robe of a Luciferian, the black robe. Only one group of people wears the black robe, and those are Satanists. But she can tell other people who walked out of the court free after a hung jury that what kind of T-shirt they can wear. She's in the robe of the witch, and she's got a lot of balls telling people what they can wear as far as a T-shirt when they've walked out of the court free people because the jury's hung. Let the government try them again, but you don't start telling them what they're going to wear. I'm sorry, no jury nullification T-shirts or you're going back to look how scared the system is of jury nullification. Go to courtroomwatch.com, download your jury nullification flyer, make a bunch of copies, have a stack at home to pass out to people who come by, have a stack in your car when you're out and about around town. Get those out there. Your life may depend upon it. If you haven't done it yet, do it. Get a stack of jury nullification. I've got one. I do it. I've done it. I passed them out at the courthouse. You'd be amazed. All the assistant district attorneys came over and said, can I have one? I'd like to see that. And they were very interested. I had a public defender ask me if he could take a picture of me in my jury nullification T-shirt. And he wasn't trying to database me for the Federal Bureau of Idiots. He was genuinely interested in the shirt. He was a good young public defender who was idealistic and thought, you know, he was going to get some justice for people, and he might. You know, and we need more people like that in the system who are going to try to do just and righteous acts and deeds. So with that, I think our man on the board tonight, our fill-in guy, has got the thank you so much for taking over for Mike tonight. We're going to play in response to Slavery Made Simple. You're still going to have the IRS. You're still going to have the private bankers of the Federal Reserve printing our currency. You're still going to have the nightmare that we're living under the private banking consortium. Nothing's changed. But it's going to be done in 7 pages instead of 200 pages. Yay! Great. Isn't that great? Doesn't that make you feel all better? Okay, so in response to Slavery Made Simple, the new Let's Keep the IRS Up and Running Strong and Let's Keep the Private Bankers of the Federal Reserve Printing Our Money Without Even Auditing Them, let alone getting rid of them and arresting them, it's a new day in America. Great. All the private banking consortium rolls on forward like the Wehrmacht. Here we go. G. Edward Griffin, the creature from Jekyll Island, if our man on the board does not hear me jump in when the music comes, just hit the pause and then, unpause it when the commercials are over. So this is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I will try to, interject a few words because I'm going to be listening to this very carefully as well. But if you don't hear from me, our friend on the board will take it in, fade it in, and fade it out for the commercial breaks, and we'll continue. So this is G. Edward Griffin, the creature from Jekyll Island, an exposure and expose on the private consortium of bankers who conquered our economy in 1913. Here we go. Roll them.
Municipalities such as this. That's Mr. G. Edward Griffin. Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to take that remark about age. You know, when Bill Jasper stands up and they announce him as the senior editor for the magazine, I know I'm in trouble. Well, we have a lot of material to cover, so I think I'll just sort of jump into this as quickly as possible. I need to warn you about something, though. Since this is being videotaped tonight, and we have a limitation on the length of the time on the videotapes, I have been instructed to divide this into two parts. The first part will last approximately 45 or 50 minutes long, and then we'll take a short break, I'm told, while they change tapes. And the next part we deliver next month. No, there are just a few minutes break, and then we'll continue with part two. So I want you to know that's coming up. So, okay, now to the topic. Are you ready for this? Okay, so am I. So let's start with history. We'll go back to the first century BC to a tiny kingdom called Phrygia. And it was in that kingdom that there lived a philosopher by the name of Epictetus. And it was Epictetus who said, appearances are of four kinds. Things either are as they appear to be, or they neither are nor appear to be. Or they are, but do not appear to be. Or they are not, and yet appear to be. Don't worry, no quiz on that. Well, that's what he said. When I read that statement for the first time, I thought to myself that surely if Epictetus were alive today, he would undoubtedly be a Harvard professor of money and banking. Because this is the kind of explanation we get, isn't it, when we try and figure out what's going on in the economy or what's going on with the Federal Reserve System. See, what Epictetus did is what is so commonly done with the experts in this field, is he took a relatively simple concept, but by the time he was through explaining it to us, we didn't have the foggiest idea what he's talking about. All he said, basically, was that appearances can sometimes be deceiving. That's all. We all know that. But he had to break it down into four component parts, explain that in two ways they are what they appear to be, and in other two ways they sometimes are not the way they appear to be, and they broke it down and we didn't understand what he's talking about. Nevertheless, I thought that this statement by Epictetus was a brilliant clue for an outline or a theme for my presentation. Because, you know, if there's anything in the world that is an appearance that is deceiving, It is the Federal Reserve System. And in particular, it is one of those appearances of the fourth kind, which, as I'm sure you all remember, are those which are not and yet appear to be. So that's going to be my theme tonight. I'm going to come back to it now and then if I remember to do it, and use it as kind of a punctuation point, because this is perhaps at the most fundamental level the most important thing we need to know about the Federal Reserve System, which is that it is an appearance of the fourth kind, something which is not and yet appears to be. When I did my research on this topic, I came to the conclusion, which may startle you folks here, that the Federal Reserve System does not need to be audited. It needs to be abolished. And the reason I say that is because I'm sure that if they audited the Federal Reserve System, they would find out that it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. There's no secret there. There's no shenanigan going on behind the scenes. It's all out in the open. If we'll just study the Federal Reserve System on the basis of what we know already, if we'll read their literature, if we'll dig into the history, we find out that it's one of the greatest scams of all history. Out on the surface, it doesn't need an audit. An audit, I'm sure, would merely delay the process for a couple of years, give the American people the false impression that something is being done about this problem, and at the end of 2 years, they'd say, well, the books are clean. I came to the conclusion that the Federal Reserve needed to be abolished for 7 reasons, actually, and I'd like to read them for you now. I've stated them in rather concise terms. Hopefully, they'll have some shock value so you can remember them. And here they are. First of all, it is incapable of accomplishing its stated objectives. 2, it is a cartel operating against the public interest. 3, it is the supreme instrument of usury. 4, it generates our most unfair tax.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Five, it encourages war. Six, it destabilizes the economy. And seven, it is an instrument of totalitarianism. Now, I don't know what you think about those 7 points. I know that a lot of you are totally in agreement with it. I can tell by your reaction. I trust that there are some skeptics here tonight. I hope there are. Otherwise, I feel like the minister talking to the choir. Usually, there are skeptics in my audience, and frankly, those are the ones I'm most interested in talking to. And for the skeptics, I'm sure that you're thinking, those sound like pretty far-out statements. How could you ever demonstrate them to be true? But I think you would agree, regardless of your preliminary conclusion about those statements, that if any of them could be proven to be true, it would be good enough reason to abolish the Federal Reserve System. So let's take a look and see whether they can be supported. Time doesn't permit to go into all 7 of those here this evening, but I would like to splash around on at least the first 4 of them to show you that indeed there is ample evidence to support these conclusions. And I think the best place to begin with all of this is where the action was, and that is the creation of the Federal Reserve System. And that takes us directly to the title of my book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. You can almost hear the music being played in the background as they do some kind of a spot commercial to sell this book. I have to admit, I had a lot of fun with that title because I had this fantasy in my mind that someday it might be in a bookstore window. And people would pass by and think, oh, it's a sequel to Jurassic Park. But anyway, that will never happen, I'm sure. The fact of the matter is, for those of you who know a little bit about this topic, the title has quite a bit of meaning in it. And we have a lot to learn by exploring what that meaning is. First of all, Jekyll Island is a real island. It's off the coast of Georgia. And it was on that island back in 1910 that the Federal Reserve System was conceived at a highly secret meeting that took place there. Now, what I'd like to do is talk about this meeting and show you that, in fact, the Federal Reserve was created there and that there was a lot of secrecy surrounding it. And then we'll be confronted with the question, why the secrecy? When things are done in secret, they're often things to hide. And we'll explore what it was that they wanted to hide. And when we finally understand what that was, we'll be face to face with one of the most important facts about the Federal Reserve System that is not generally known. In 1910, Jekyll Island was privately owned by a small group of millionaires. In those days, they were millionaires. In today's dollars, they would be billionaires. From New York. This is where their families went to spend the winter months. It was a resort island, a resort club. It was called the Jekyll Island Club. And there was a very elaborate clubhouse there, which was the center of their social activities. It's still there, by the way, if anybody wants to visit it. The island has been purchased by the state of Georgia, and this clubhouse has been renovated. It's a beautiful thing. And around this clubhouse, they had cottages, which were built by many of the families that belonged to the club. Cottages are not exactly the word I would have chosen to describe these structures. I remember on taking the tour through one of them, the guide said that there were 14 bathrooms in that cottage. So you have an idea of the kind of elegance that was there. In any event, the number of bathrooms has nothing to do with this story. I just get hung up on that because it's hard for me to imagine a cottage with that much running plumbing. But the important point was that this is where the Federal Reserve System was conceived, is in that clubhouse. So let's tell that story. It all began in November of 1910 when Senator Nelson Aldrich sent his private railroad car to the New Jersey Railroad Station, where there it was in readiness for the arrival of himself and six other men who were instructed to come under conditions of great secrecy. For example, they were told to come one at a time, not to be seen together, not to dine together on the night of their departure. If they had arrived at the same time, they were instructed to pretend as though they didn't even know each other. They were to avoid newspaper reporters because these were well-known men, and had they been spotted by reporters, which often frequented the railroad station,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Especially had they been seen together, many questions would have been asked. One of the men carried a shotgun in a big black case, so that if he had been asked where he was going, he was prepared to say that he was going on a duck hunting trip. And the interesting thing about that little piece of the history is that this man, we find out later from his biographer, never fired a gun in his life. He even had to borrow that shotgun in order to participate in this deception. Even after they got on board the railroad car, this pattern continued. They were told to use first names only, not to use last names. And two of the men adopted code names completely. The reason for that is that they were afraid that the servants on board the train would recognize who they were if they used their last names. And they knew that if word leaked out in that fashion and eventually found its way into the press, the whole purpose of the meeting would have been completely destroyed. So absolute secrecy was essential. Well, the train traveled for 2 nights and a day on a 1,000-mile journey to the south, and when they awoke on the second morning, the car was on the siding, the railroad siding at Brunswick, Georgia. And from there, they took the ferry boat across the inland strait to Jekyll Island and to the clubhouse. And for the next 9 days, these men sat around a table and hammered out all the important details of what eventually became the Federal Reserve System. And incidentally, if you visit that clubhouse today, you can walk down to the end of the one corridor there, and on a door is a brass plaque. And it says, "In this room, the Federal Reserve System was created." When they were done, they got back on board the train, back to New York, and disappeared. And for quite a few years after that, these men denied that any such meeting ever took place. It wasn't until after the Federal Reserve was firmly established that only then did they begin to talk openly about it. They wrote books on it. One of them wrote a magazine article, and they gave interviews to newspaper reporters. And so now, many years later, it's possible for us to go to the public record and find in print detailed descriptions of what happened at that meeting. Well, who were these men? The first one I've already mentioned, the one with the railroad car, Senator Nelson Aldridge, who was the Republican whip in the Senate. He was also chairman of the National Monetary Commission, which was that special committee of Congress which was created for the purpose of proposing legislation which was to reform banking. That was the idea. Banking needed reform. And the American people were greatly concerned in those days over things that were going on in the banking industry. People were losing their money in the banks because they weren't keeping their promises to hold their deposits in reserve. There were runs on the bank, and the banks couldn't pay the people back. But most of all, they were concerned over the concentration of financial power that was in the hands of a small group of very powerful and large banks in New York on Wall Street. This is what they called the Money Trust. That was the name, and it was a very popular expression in the newspapers. And quite a few politicians were elected to office on their campaign promise to break the grip of the Money Trust. President Wilson was one of those politicians, by the way. So, that was the purpose of the National Monetary Commission, which was to propose legislation, which eventually became the Federal Reserve Act, to break the grip of the Money Trust over the financial markets of America. Aldrich was a business associate of J.P. Morgan. He was the father-in-law to John D. Rockefeller, Jr., which means, of course, that eventually he became the grandfather of Nelson Rockefeller, our former vice president. You remember his full name was Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller, so he derived his middle name from his famous grandfather. The second person at the meeting was Abraham Piat Andrew, who was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. He later became a congressman, but he was very prominent in banking circles. Frank Vanderlip was there. He was the president of the National City Bank of New York, which was the largest and the most powerful of all the banks in the country. Representing the financial interests of William Rockefeller and the international investment firm of Kuhn Loeb & Company, Henry Davison was there. He was the senior partner of the J.P. Morgan Company. Charles Norton was present. He was the president of the First National Bank of New York, which was another one of the giants. Also, there was Benjamin Strong, who was the head of J.P. Morgan's Bankers Trust Company. And incidentally, 3 years later, when the Federal Reserve System was finally created, he became the first head of the system. And finally, there was Paul Warburg, who was probably the most important of all the men there because of his knowledge of banking as it was practiced in Europe. Paul Warburg was born in Germany. He eventually became a naturalized American citizen. He was a partner in Kuhn Loeb & Company. He was a representative of the Rothschild banking dynasty in England and France. And through all the years of his banking in America, he remained in very close contact with his brother, Max Warburg, who was the head of the Warburg Banking Consortium in Germany and the Netherlands. Paul Warburg was one of the wealthiest men in the world. And those of you who are Little Orphan Annie fans, you'll remember Daddy Warbucks. Well, Paul Warburg was the real Daddy Warbucks, after whom that character was named. And everyone at the time knew it. I have his photograph in the book if you'd like to compare his picture to the drawing rendition of Daddy Warburg.
Derek the Freedom Screamer, did we lose our documentary, Ken? Okay, I would say about, well, we're at 35, 36 minutes in, so you want to try for 30 minutes roughly into it and just roll it as best you can. If we miss some at the end, we'll make it up tomorrow.
And that's good news for a lot of people because that's one of the reasons we go to the bank, isn't it? To borrow money. So it's good news when there's money available. And the banker says we have $100 deposited, but don't worry, folks, we can loan you more than that. We can loan you up to $900. Well, how? How can you loan out up to $900 when you only have $100 deposited? Well, it's not difficult if you're in the Federal Reserve System. Here's how it works. The Federal Reserve says that the member banks must keep no less than 10% of their deposits in reserve. So there's $100. They keep 10% in reserve, $10. And they can loan up to $90, right? So we loan it to you, ma'am. You borrowed $90. What do you do with it? Well, you want to spend it. So you want to write a check on it. You deposit it into your checking account so you can write a check. In many cases, it might be put directly into your checking account. But now there's $90 deposit. In addition to the $100 that was deposited to start this chain, now we've got the $90 that was loaned as another deposit. Well, the Federal Reserve says that you only have to keep 10%. So we keep 10% of the 90 and loan the other 90%. And the person that borrows that puts it right back into the bank as another deposit. Well, the Federal Reserve says you only have to keep 10%. So, you know, this goes around and around and around the revolving door until finally the whole action is played out. And the bottom line is, when that $100 deposit comes in from the postal worker, the banks, in essence, can loan up to $900 because $100 is the reserve, and that's 10% of 1,000, so they can loan the balance, or the difference, which is $900. Now, where does that money come from? Well, same place. It springs into being precisely at the point where the loan is made. It didn't exist before, anywhere. Now notice the important thing here. The money that's created out of nothing and given to the government spends for its purposes. But the money that's created out of nothing by the banks, it's not spent by the banks, it's loaned by the banks to you and to me, and we pay interest on it. Not too shabby. Interest on nothing. I wish I had a magic checkbook like that, where I didn't have to have any money, just a checkbook. And I could write checks, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 all day long and loan them to you folks, and you pay me interest on it. You see? Not too shabby at all. This, in fact, is the payoff to the commercial banks in the cartel. This scam has become legitimized by law. And we're told it's a wonderful thing. We think our banking system is wonderful. But it's a scam. Not only interest on nothing, but perpetual interest on nothing. Because notice, once this money is created, if you pay it back, they have it on their ledger as a credit. They can loan it out again to somebody else. And the whole object is to keep loaned out. They don't like the money not loaned out because you can't earn interest on it. When it's in the inkwell, it doesn't do them any good. So remember, there's nothing here except ink in the well or electronic impulses in the computer. That's all there is. So they're collecting interest on that. But that's not the end of the process. That is how money is created in America, but that's not the end of it because it has consequences. What impact does that have on us? Are we involved in this in any way? Well, yes, we are. I've heard people say, gee, those fellows are really smart. I guess they deserve to be rich. You know, as though it didn't affect them in any way. Let's follow it. This money that's created out of nothing goes into the economy, and it dilutes down the value of the dollars that were already out there. It's like pouring water into the pot of soup. It dilutes the soup. And so the economy is diluted by these new dollars, and prices start to go up, or they appear to be going up. It's the process called inflation. I say appear to go up because prices really don't go up, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening is that the value of the dollar goes down. Right. That's what we're witnessing here. If we had a real monetary system, real money backed by gold or silver or anything of tangible value, coffee cups, anything that couldn't just be created out of nothing behind our money, you would find that the purchasing power of that money would remain constant over a long period of time. And to illustrate that point, it's interesting to know that if we had lived in ancient Rome and had a 1 ounce gold coin, we would have been able to buy a fine toga a handcrafted belt, and a pair of sandals. That was the price. So today, what can we buy with a 1 ounce gold coin? We can walk into any men's store and buy a really fine suit, a handcrafted belt, and a pair of shoes. The real price of these items hasn't changed in thousands of years when expressed in terms of real money. But when expressed in terms of these things we carry around, we call them dollars, they're not. They're really Federal Reserve notes. They buy less and less and less because they keep creating more and more and more of them, and they dilute the economic soup. But we still haven't followed this to the end of the trail. We've lost some purchasing power through this thing called inflation. But how many people ask the question, who gained it? Did anybody gain our lost purchasing power, or did it just evaporate and go up to heaven somewhere? Somebody gained it, didn't they? But we don't know who. Let's follow it. The people who gained our lost purchasing power were those who were at the point where this fresh money was injected into the economic soup. Those at the nozzle get dollars that look the same as all the other dollars, and they have them first, and they can spend them at full purchasing power. But by the time the person who gets those dollars then gives them to the next person and the next person, it goes out toward the edge of the pot, where most of us are, and it gets diluted down. But the ones up there at the nozzle are the ones who have gained our lost purchasing power. Who are they? Well, we know that the government is one of them. That's where the billion-dollar check started, isn't it? That was the beginning of this whole process. The government spent that money first. And then, of course, those who work for the government and those who have government contracts and those who get grants and so forth get the next wave, and they're not doing too bad either, and it starts out from there. But what about on the banking side? Who got that money first off? Well, the people that came up to the loan window. They were the first ones to get it. Now, this comes as no surprise to anybody here, I'm sure, that in times of inflation, it's a good thing to borrow. Everybody tells you that because you say, you know that you're going to borrow a dollar and you pay it back with quarters or 50-cent pieces because inflation erodes the value of those dollars. So you know to borrow is to gain. And the people who don't borrow, who save, they're the ones who are losing. But notice, however, that this gain that the borrower gets, he has to turn right around and give to the bank in the form of interest on nothing. So he doesn't really gain at all. It appears to be gain, it's paper gain, but his gain actually goes back to the bank as interest on nothing. Now, yes, during times of inflation, his paper assets expand. Golly, this real estate looks like it's worth a lot of money right now. But then the economy contracts. And he's wiped out. He doesn't have anything. And notice that when you go to the bank and you go to borrow some of this nothing money, did they expect nothing from you in return? No. They want you to sign over and pledge as collateral your car, your house, your assets, hard assets, not nothing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
From you in return? No. They want you to sign over it and pledge as collateral your car, your house, your assets, hard assets, not nothing assets. So when the economy contracts and you can't continue to make those payments, they get your marbles. So the bank will do all right, whether it's expansion or contraction. So what's the answer to the question? Who gains? Who got your lost purchasing power? Big surprise, ladies and gentlemen. The two members of the partnership called the Federal Reserve System, it's the government and the members of the banking cartel. Those are the ones who got your purchasing power. Now, there in a nutshell is an overview of the Federal Reserve System. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to read this in any textbook on the subject. And I can also tell you that you now understand everything there is of importance to know about the Federal Reserve System. The payoff on the government side is that they're able to tax their people. And don't forget, inflation is a tax. You pay it, you have no escape. It's a hidden tax, but it's a tax just the same. And so the government is able to tax the people without them even knowing they're paying the tax. And on the banking cartel side, they're able to collect perpetual interest on nothing. Now that is the end of part one. Stand by. There's more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a 5-minute break, and let's keep it.
That's it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is time for continuation. Everyone refreshed? Anybody want to open up a bank? All right, part two. We'll go back to Jekyll Island. We have much to learn there. In fact, if we just analyze what happened on Jekyll Island, we can figure out almost everything that's going on today, even though that happened back in 1910. And one of the things that they had to resolve there was what to call this creature of theirs. This partnership between government and the commercial banks was not new with the Federal Reserve System. In fact, this concept was created back in Europe in the 16th century, and it was perfected with the Bank of England in 1694. This is the kind of thing from that date forward that all of the governments of Europe adopted. Now, they didn't call it a mandrake mechanism like I do. They called it a central bank. Now, that's the technical name for this partnership. If you want to look this process up in a textbook or an encyclopedia, you'll find it listed under central bank.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.